episode 207.
They reach in, open up their wallet, they get the credit card out, they hold the credit card up in the air as a teaser. You're seeing your money right there. And then they start to talk, and what's the first thing they do? They'll hesitate for a second. They'll put the card back in their wallet and put their wallet back in their pocket. Now, you're thinking, what the heck just happened? I can tell you what just happened. They don't have the money they told you they did.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results.
Hey, welcome aftermarket professionals to Remarkable Results Radio and to episode 207 with Scott Gonzo Weaver. Hey, it's round two with the Gons. I'm Carm Capriotto, and welcome to another episode of Transference. That is where, through the miracle of technology, we send the electrons to you as wave files, and you learn from my guests. The episode is made possible through the sponsorship of Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Search for parts, get the latest technical updates, and sign up for their all-new Garage Rewards Loyalty Program at their all-new website, fmmotorparts.com. Hey, find the show notes for this Gonzo episode at remarkableresults.biz/E207. Hey, I spent some time with about 450 aftermarket professionals, technicians, and shop owners in Westchester County, New York, this past weekend at the big event, and helped many download the podcast app to their smartphone. It is cool how quickly it loads and how nicely it puts all episodes at your fingertips. Now, many were picking which episodes they were going to listen to on their drive back home. Find it on your app store for Android and iOS, and have a whole new way to access the power of this aftermarket content. Another great week of new friendships and connections. A big shout out to new Facebook friends Carrie Lynn Roddenberg, Chris Hammond, Frankie Orozco, and Rory Balmer, and to my new LinkedIn connections, Kai Fannensteel and Dennis Hogan. Also, connect with me via email. You got an idea for a show or a guest request? My email, carm@remarkableresults.biz. And don't forget the training power of the Town Hall Live replays. I've assembled all archived episodes on a new and special page on my website, and I call it Learning. Find the new page on the menu bar or type remarkableresults.biz/learning. And you can also sign up for the live show at remarkableresults.biz/townhall. On the Learning page, you'll find the two-day catalog of every forum and the hot topics we've covered so far. And don't forget, we do it live every Friday at 12 noon Eastern with a new aftermarket topic that is sure to hit home. Learn from your peers and enjoy. Well, you probably remember the first episode I did with Scott Gonzo Weaver, and it was episode 109. Now, Gonzo owns Superior Auto Electric in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The world knows him as Gonzo from Gonzo's Toolbox, or maybe from his book entitled, Hey Look, I Found a Loose Nut. We got together at Vision 2017 and used the interview time to talk about some crazy customer situations that are guaranteed to increase your blood pressure. The way Gonzo serves it up, you just have to laugh. Well, we took a few scenarios from his writings and expanded upon them. I'm sure you've never received a bad check or got a job approval and then the car was left at your place forever. Or you even had a customer steal their car from your lot so they didn't have to pay. Does all this only happen to Gonzo? Well, I think not. Gonzo's sure he isn't the only one who's had this kind of chaos happen to him. He shares these stories and also provides you the warning signs to keep the fracas to a minimum. Enjoy this shop owner, author, and industry columnist, only as Gonzo can chronicle. Here we go. I want to welcome Scott Gonzo Weaver to the show. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Carm.
Oh, Gonzo, episode 109. He was with me before we talked. We had a great episode back at 109, and I know we're under the 200 mark now. So, almost about 100 episodes ago. And we're here live, across the table from you, Vision 2017.
Fantastic.
How many years you been here?
This is probably my 10th year that I've come to Vision.
Have you ever been an instructor here?
No, nothing yet. One of these days, maybe, but right now, no.
Give me your impression of the show. Why do you come?
Interacting between different mechanics because of the column I do. I also I really enjoy going through all the new tools and the new equipment and basically see what's out there, what's new, what's happening, and obviously the classes. You cannot miss a class up here. This stuff is top-notch, best instructors there is in the business.
What was your favorite class? What did Gonzo enjoy the most?
Anything in regarding the electronics or the hybrids. I don't do a whole lot of diesel stuff. I do, but not very much. But the electronic side of which is what I'm known for, that's what I'm trying to keep up on. Scope readings, the hybrid systems, that is where I'm kind of focusing a lot of my attention next couple of years.
I got to thank you because I just received an autographed copy of your book.
Well, what do you know?
Hey, look, I found the loose nut. A humorous look at customers from a service technician's view. Yeah. Everyone, I have a signed copy of Gonzo's book.
Yeah, they're and rare and frosty.
I am going to treasure this. So Scott gives me a phone call and he says, hey, you're going to be at Vision and you're looking to, you know, do some podcast interviews. Let's get together and let's have some fun. And I said, wow, what a great idea. And so I look at this book and, you know, it's so well known and so well read. I see people coming up to you all the time and asking for your autograph.
I don't make it down an aisle without somebody stopping me.
I bet you they don't. And I love the contents. Are you kidding me? I've got a problem. I didn't get your problem. Foreign affairs, mice, boyfriend, girlfriend, customer knows best. Customers. My, this is
the lifeblood of any business.
This is all about customers.
Yes.
I know you have a few stories to tell.
Well, more than a few, obviously.
And are you the kind of shop owner that you think these situations just gravitate to you? I mean, are you just the luckiest shop owner in the world to have like someone bring and, you know, just leave their car and never come back?
Well, you know, I used to think that. And I think before I wrote the book, I probably had more ambitions of thinking I was the only one ever this happened to. But as you start to talk to other shop owners and attend events like this, sooner or later you get into the one-up stories. And eventually they're going to get into these, yeah, so-and-so story left his car here. I got a bad check. And it just turns out it's not just me. It's everywhere. And it's probably that one subject about the auto business that, well, isn't really mentioned. You don't hear so much of that when you're talking to somebody who's going to, you know, show you how to increase your sales. You know, they'll tell you, well, just leave those customers alone. Now, how do you tell that customer from the good customer at the service counter?
Are the stories that you have that are in the book, and I'd love you to develop, you know, something around the bad check thing, because I know you've got a lot of experience with it, but are the stories in the book a collection of your networking and the people that talk to you, or is all this stuff things that have happened to you?
Those happened to me. Those are the real deal. 90% of the stories I write are probably something indirectly or directly that's happened at my shop over the years. Now, of course, 3 decades of doing this, I'm going to have stories. The thing that I try to collect from all these experiences is how to deal with those experiences and not get yourself into some sort of insanity realm where you just feel like, oh, well, I'm just a total loss. I just need to get out of the business. This ain't cut out for me. Well, really, you are. You're cut out for it. What you haven't done is experienced that type of problem and are probably not ready to accept the results. But that's part of the stories. Part of why I write is I want to inform let's call it indirectly, that, hey, guys, gals, you're not the only one out there that experiences this type of thing.
Scott, is writing therapy for you?
That is all my therapy. It is absolutely therapy. I got an email from a listener just a week ago about one of the latest stories that was out in Underhood magazine. And the fellow wrote back, he said, I have been down on myself the last couple of weeks. I've had rough times with customers and problems and comebacks and things like that. He's after reading your story, he said, I'm enlightened enough to come back Monday with a smile. And I thought, well, that's exactly why I wrote the story. That is what I wanted to bring out in the story, was that ability of to make you feel not so put down by the customer, the parts and the employees, you know, family problems. Everybody has these things, but what we need to do is deal with it and go on and, you know, put a smile on your face. And that was really, that's the book. That's, hey, look, I found the loose nut. That's the column, Gonzo's Toolbox. That's what really what it's all about.
Where's the column? Who can read your column and where?
Anyone of the Babcock's subscription stuff, you know, brick and front end, underhood service, and import cars are the three main ones. If you want to find, let's call it the unedited versions, because they're all sized for the magazine, go right to my website, gonzostoolbox.com. And you'll find page after page of various stories of various topics dealing with customer parts, employees, day-to-day living, anything.
Now, you wrote the book in 2009. It all still resonates today?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think anything's changed. You know, the stories are still there.
I'm talking with Anthony Frohwein, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Anthony, when you're in a shop, are you talking tech as well as product?
Whenever I do a physical training, there is product incorporated part of the whole training overall, but it's to maximize the time, whether it's diagnostics, whether it's inspection, whether it's installation. So that way they understand that, hey, by skipping that extra 20 seconds by putting on this set of brake pads and not replacing the hardware, hey, this might be the reason why that I'm getting comebacks. And usually being a ex-shop owner, I understand that the first time you get paid, the second time's free.
And so are the techs really starving for this information?
Oh, absolutely. A lot of times you have, we live in an industry where I like to say they cut the roast in half and they don't understand why, but they do it just because they've always been doing it type of an industry. So, you know, to break it through that, they've been doing something for 30 years and they see as they haven't been doing anything wrong, but it starts to open up their eyes to, hey, you know what? It wasn't necessarily wrong, but there is a better way.
So you're really talking to me about an aha moment.
Exactly.
And tell me, when you see that happening more and more from technicians that you're out with, how does it make you feel?
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, you really feel like you're giving back to the community overall. But ultimately, the way I tell them, you know, I look at every single vehicle that I worked on prior to, or I had my customer, just like I'd put my family in that vehicle. I look at it as I'm keeping everybody else that much safer because the job's getting done correctly.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com. When did you really start writing Gonzo's Toolbox?
Ooh, I would say that's closer to maybe 10 years. I don't know. I never thought about it. I'd say a long time before.
Okay, a long time. All right.
Yeah.
Any great stories you can tell me about someone, how the book impacted someone? Did they ever write you a letter and say, Scott, I got to tell you about this?
Well, I used to belong to a executive group, which basically had one type of business that was in the town throughout the whole genre of different types of businesses. So we basically had, I think there was 130, 140 members, which means there's 140 different businesses. I had wrote the book, and one of the guys I knew had gone down to the bookstore that was in our association, bought a copy, and off he went. Now, I knew he bought the copy because he told me he was going to buy it. About 2 or 3 weeks later, he calls me up, and he says, Gonzo, I am so pissed at you. And I went, oh my God, I just had his wife's car in here. What did they do wrong? You know, because I'm thinking everything's bad. He says, I got the book. I went on vacation. I read part of it on the plane. Got to the hotel. I read some more. We went down to the beach. I read some more. That night at dinner, I read a little more of it. And then I finished it up on the way back on the plane trip home. And he says, and I am so mad at you. And I said, what? He said, the book? He says, fantastic. He says, I'm a roofer. He says, all I had to do is change the word mechanic to roofer. He says, I just laughed my butt off. It was just the funniest thing I've read in so long. But I'm still pissed at you. I said, well, why are you so pissed? He says, I don't remember my vacation at all.
Now, people get into, you know, Baldacci novels. But here you are at that level, huh?
Yeah. It's, and I took it as a compliment. I said, well, glad you're pissed, you know, and went on.
I can't wait to read my copy. Thank you so much. So let's go back to the bag check thing. Ever have an issue where somebody comes in with half cash and half check and you're not sure?
Yes.
Is that a red light or anything?
That should be a big old red flag. When you see someone come in with half check and half check.
Or half cash, half check.
Cash, half check. You should have a red flag going up. Now, I don't know how it is in other states. I know in Oklahoma, what I found out was that if you accept one thin dime as payment, the check is considered a promissory note and not real. So you accepted half cash, that check can be as falsified as it ever was, and it doesn't matter.
It's vapor.
It's not legal tender. And it did. It happened to me. I lost quite a bit of money.
It happened once.
Never again.
And never again.
Right. But there's clues. I mean, there are things you can do to, let's say, see it coming. Okay, if it is a new customer and he wants to give you half cash, half check, I think I would do as much as I can as far as getting as much information about that check, get their place of business, their home phone, their kid's second grade teacher's name. I don't care. Get as much information as you can. But then the other clues is, what does the check look like? Could it pass as a real check? Because I've had fake checks given to me. Or the check number, the biggie, the check number. If that check number is 101, uh-oh, no.
Warning.
Yeah, warning, you know.
Mr. Robinson.
So, yeah, you want to pay attention to stuff like that. And but that's only one small part of that, let's call them the bad customer. And here's my point about all this. There's places for the consumer to go, such as the Better Business Bureau or places on the internet that they can go and bitch about the services they got from a repair shop. But where's the repair shop go about that bad customer that wrote them a bad check or abandoned their car in front of your business? There's nothing. We just basically have to suck it up and go on. And here you are stuck with a car. Here you are stuck with a bad check. And you're out. And there's not much you can do.
So being stuck with a car, I mean, how many cars have you had the opportunity to have that you never wanted to?
Oh, dozens. Dozens.
So people will leave their car?
Yes.
And you write humorous stories about that. You turn these into funny stories
as
it's crushed you and say,
right,
I don't need this car. I don't want this car.
Right. Right. And you know, at the time, I may be more than a little pissed. Give it time. I'm going to turn it into some kind of elaborate, funny story and put a pun into that where you're going to get the idea that, hey, you know, this guy left his car and it was not the best thing to do, but somehow it turned out for the best.
Sure.
So
you got a good story, an example?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's been cases where it came in, you know, say, it's got a bad transmission and they didn't want to pay for a transmission. You call them and call them and call them. And a funny thing is they don't answer the phone anymore. So you're stuck with the car. So you do the file and you've got to wait the 90 days or so, or I should say that's the way it's done in our state. But after that, you get the title, and then you can do what you need to with it. And at that point, well, okay, if the car is decent enough to put a transmission in it, well, I'll go find a tranny, throw it in it, and I'll put it out front and sell it, you know, or I'll donate it.
Are you telling me that people just drop off cars on purpose?
Oh, I get it all the time.
Couldn't they just have brought it to the scrapyard and walked away?
Yeah, and not waste my time.
Right.
I've had them where they've dropped a no-run, you know, DOA, out into the parking lot. Now, for me, my parking lot is not caged. It's open. It's public open. And here it is, car sitting out there. It's dead. It won't start. You know, Billy Bob and his brother Elrod have already tore the thing apart, so parts are laying all over this thing. So you know you're not going to be able to diagnose it real well without putting a few things back together. I guess they don't realize that, you know, almost all the scanners today are wireless. I don't need to pull the thing in the shop. So I just go out there, plug it in, go back in a nice warm shop, start punching buttons, find out what I can. Oh, okay, here's the problem. And you give them the notice or the invoice or the estimate or whatever you want to call it. And they go, uh-huh, okay, yeah, yeah. And you can hear in their voice that there's a red flag about to go up here. Let's say that was a Friday. You come in Monday, that dead car that you didn't want to move, that's been out in the parking lot, is gone.
Wait a minute. Stolen.
You can't steal your own car, according to Oklahoma. There it is. It's gone.
Basically, you did some free diagnostic work.
Absolutely. So, you know, there again, you say, okay, well, what you ought to do is you ought to just pull that sucker in the house. Well, that may not be possible every time. It may not be feasible because your location to cage in your area. Mine, it's not. I have a shared parking lot. So that's not possible. Well, you're just, you know, SOL. But it happens. I've had it happen many, many times over the years. It's amazing that they would go to that extreme length.
Give me, is there any other trick that you've seen people pull by stealing their own car?
Oh, yeah. Oh, the boyfriend-girlfriend routine. So you get this car in. You've done this repair. You've called them. And they get that little hunch in their voice. Like, huh? That much, huh? Oh, okay. All right. I'll be down. So here comes the fellow that owns the car to the shop. He walks in, starts talking about the car. Now, for some reason, this is the red flag again, the honching and the delay in getting that credit card or whatever out, okay? And they'll stand there and they'll ask you 10,000 questions about the car. Then all of a sudden they go, okay, well, all right, I'll be back tomorrow with the money. He walks out, he leaves. You walk outside, the car you were working on that you pulled out thinking he was going to be paying on it is gone. Because his girlfriend had the extra key. They basically stole the car. But you can't steal your own car. And that, yeah, just the way it is. So now you're stuck.
No signatures on a approved work order?
Not in Oklahoma, but even then, the signature on the paper is only worth the paper. In those situations, when you start to get that little hunch in the voice or whatever you want to call it, leave the car in the shop. Lock it up. Put it behind. And last thing and most important, no matter what the situation, those keys don't come across the counter until you're paid. That is a must. I've lost out so many times where I thought everything was kosher. They were, you know, the very emphatic people that, you know, things are good. And
you know what I think? I have this crazy thought in my mind that since you're so hardened over this, you'd go out and put a wheel lock on a car like that.
If I could, I would.
I imagine devious, crazy Gonzo going out there throwing his wheel lock because you didn't trust him to start with. Right?
Yeah, you're throwing the coil wire off or something, you know. But, you know, I've thought about things like that. I just, you know, of course, you don't want to be that devious, you know, but you could. You know, and then there's so many different things that I've learned over the years that tell me that there's a red flag that happened. Well, let's say the guy or the lady comes in to pay the bill. And they're talking about the car, okay? And they reach in, open up their wallet. They get the credit card out. They hold the credit card up in the air as a teaser. You're seeing your money right there. And then they start to talk, and what's the first thing they do? They'll hesitate for a second. They'll put the card back in their wallet and put their wallet back in their pocket. Now, you're thinking, what the heck just happened? I can tell you what just happened. They don't have the money they told you they did. And I've had that happen so many times. And what surprises me more than anything about that, usually when I tell them, you know, you're not getting a key, not until you pay. You know, like, oh, I'll give you so much now and a post-dated check later. No, you pay me now. I did the work now. You pay me now. They'll go outside the door, stand outside, get on their cell phone, and they start talking, and usually in a rather loud tone, to whoever it is that we don't have the money, you know, dear. Walls are not soundproof. I can hear you out there. It happens all the time. Finally, they'll come back in and, you know, imagine this. They somehow find the way to get the cash to get the car back out of the deal. But that's where I'm going to do the same trick to them as they did with the credit card. I'll hold the keys up shoulder high and go, yep, you know, the car's done. I'll be spinning the key on the keychain and going, yeah, the car's ready to go. You know, I'll be glad to take you for a test drive in it, but I'm not giving you the key till I get paid.
Well, they weren't smart enough to know that they had to have the girlfriend with the other set of keys.
Well, that, you know, thank God that doesn't happen very often. So there's all kinds of different situations that...
Any other crazy, wild story about getting paid?
Well, I've had the guy wanted to pay me in beer.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That would have been a year's supply, maybe.
Well, he was going to bring down a whole keg, you know. Oh, Lord. Sometimes a trade.
Oh, they, yeah. Do trades?
Yeah,
like,
the barters.
But,
yeah.
But do trades happen up front or near paying time?
Oh, it's always at the paying time. You didn't know that until
Oh,
then.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll come in and say, you know, I got, you know, 5 chickens and a goat I'll trade.
Let me ask you a question. The value of the keg of beer and the value of what you did on the car.
Oh, not even close.
Okay.
Not even close.
And you drink scotch.
Bet, right? I guess you could say if you're in business working for the general public, you're going to see all kinds. You're going to see the good ones, the bad ones, the indifferent ones. And it's not just the car that's going to give you the problem. The consumer is going to give you the problems too. But, you know, and I try to take it in a lighthearted a way. I don't want to make it sound that I'm distrustful of anybody that comes in the office. But I will look at those key things that I've learned over the years that tell me that, hey, this could be a problem. There's something wrong. It's one thing for a customer to come in and say, boy, I don't want to pay that much for a diagnostics. And then find the guy down the street. But when they want to say, okay, go ahead and do it, and then they play that tease game with the card, or, you know, they're stammering about getting the cash out at the end of the job, you know something else is wrong. And, you know, not to say it happens a lot, but once in a while they'll pay up. Then they'll leave, and then what they do, they get on their cell phone, they call you at the shop and start cussing you out. It's like, well, I did my job. I did exactly what I told you. Well, they're pissed because they had to pay for it. I think a lot of that comes down to a car is one of those things that you make a monthly payment on. Then the car breaks. You got to make another monthly payment on top of the monthly payment to get the thing out of the repair shop, and that ticks people off. So it's not the repair. It's the money. It's the fact that you had to pay on top of paying for the car.
Right.
That's what makes people angry.
Are you open Monday through Friday?
I try to be.
What's your favorite day of the week?
The busy day is Monday because you got all the weekend warriors trying to fiddle with their car, and that fiddles out by Wednesday. I'd say Friday's a good day because for some reason, nobody wants to leave their car on Friday. Of course, I do mainly electrical systems. Shy of it pouring down rain, you know, and the windows down. And they haven't figured out how to put a plastic bag on the window. Yeah, those will be in. But normally, no, I don't want to leave it, you know. And, you know, I'll usually get the general thing is like, well, I'd like to wait on it. Okay, and it's not a problem. I said, but here's the deal. I don't know how many people are going to ask me that same question today. You're the first, but I'll let you in. They may have been the 50th. I don't know. But I'll tell them, you're the first, so, you know, come on in. Because chances are, no matter what I say, when they say, I want it done today, especially on a Friday, and I even have an inkling in my voice that I might be too busy to get to it, they're not coming in.
So the book, where can people get the book?
You can find it on Amazon. You can order it off of my website, Gonzo's Toolbox. If you catch me at some of these events, I usually will have a few extra copies.
So I bought the book. In this case, I was so kindly given this book. And if I said, all right, man, to get the essence of the book, what's the first chapter? I mean, you want me to read it in order, but what's your favorite chapter out of here?
I'd say the first part, the back of the book is more of my insight of what I would like to have seen going on in the future of the business. The stories are broke down into different categories, you know, regarding a mechanic, regarding a boyfriend-girlfriend type stuff, which there's all kinds of situations for that. Some are just on, you know, crazy, you're never going to believe it, problems with that we found with cars. Most of it is pretty hilarious.
Page 163, Murphy's Laws.
Murphy's
Laws. Auto Repair. Did you write all of those?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, you're right. I guess if I was a roofer and I read that, it just wouldn't matter.
Just change the name.
Yeah. It's interesting. Very personal commitment to have written this book?
I would say so. I would say, yeah, it was...
A labor of love?
Yeah. Did I ever think I was going to be some sort of writer? No. You know, that's just that fork in the road.
How did that come out? How'd you hone your skills?
I just practiced at it. I just kept at it. You know, my wife says I don't know how to spell book or use a comma, but somehow I figure out how to do it.
You know, commas are supposed to be really good.
I guess. She puts them in.
I think there was an article or book. She says you can't use enough commas when you write.
A lot of times I'm writing as I'm thinking it. And what you'll find, or at least for me, when I'm writing that way, the word that comes out too much.
That.
Yeah, that.
That's your crutch.
Yeah. That's my crutch, yeah.
Yeah.
A good friend of mine told me, he says, oh, you want to check what you wrote, change the font, then go back and read it again. And you'll find those little changes that you need to make.
Yeah.
And so I'll do that. I'll, you know, change the font, go back and read it. And I'm looking for that.
Is less more for you then when you're editing?
Yes, it's always less.
You take out a lot.
Oh, well, pages, yeah,
I,
you know.
I understand. Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes you sit there and you'll find you've made your point in paragraph one, but some reason you just can't get off that point, and paragraph two, three, four, and five say basically the same thing in a different way.
Yeah. Is there a 24-hour incubation period that you go back and read? You don't write, read, and edit. Do you let it simmer?
Yeah, I guess you could say that, because for me, Monday and Tuesday drive to work is think of ideas. Okay, if I don't already have some, okay. some I got jot down it in my phone. You know, one, two word little clips. Wednesday night is usually the night I will take the idea and throw it across the dinner table to the wife.
Ah.
And, you know, if she perks up, or she'll say, yeah, that's not so bad. I might try that. By either Wednesday night or Thursday night, I'm starting to put it down on paper. Well, computer. And then it sits. Friday morning, before I go to work, I'll rush through it. And I'll usually highlight it as far as things I want to change. Friday night, I'll finish it, and then I hand it over to the boss.
Okay.
The boss? Yeah, the wife.
Okay. And, oh, great. Yeah. So she reads.
Yeah, she reads every story before it goes out. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, she'll change a sentence up, but not very seldom. But usually, she's checking punctuation and sentence structure.
Yeah.
What I'm waiting for is her to walk by the TV as I'm sitting here, because I cannot be here by her. While I can't, if I stand over her shoulder, she's mad. So I have to, you know,
give her space.
Give her space so I go watch TV or something. All right. She'll come to the door and she'll just stand there, and I'll look and she'll say, "That's a good one." And I know if that means it's a good one. If she comes out and goes, "I don't think this is good," that one's great. That's great stuff.
You got the wife's seal of approval.
I got the approval. And I know the approval rating.
And when you hit it out of the ballpark, it's going to be a great weekend.
Yeah, that one sucks. That was good.
And so is that what you use to celebrate? You go golfing on the weekend?
Oh, I'd golf anyway.
I know, really. In our first episode, you talked heavy. Occasionally, I see you do a post or two about golf is my life. Fixing cars gets in the way.
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
So, Gons, just recently, a favorite article that you wrote that you just, wow, I hit it out. She approved it with flying colors, 5-star. What was the subject?
The story I think I just wrote last week called Down and Out in the Service Bay. Yeah.
All right.
Take off on the movie.
Yeah.
So the premise of the movie, if you're not a familiar with it, is a bum who tries to commit suicide in a well-to-do Hollywood.
Funny.
Yeah, funny.
Down and Out in Beverly Hills. Yes.
It made me think of cars that have come into the shop for a simple repair, but for some reason the water pump just all of a sudden started leaking right then, you know. Or, you know, you're trying to bring the thing into the repair shop and, the check the ball joints, and a timing belt starts spitting teeth off of it and hammers the valves right there and right in front of the shop, you know. It happens. So I put this little story together about the incidences that have happened over the years could be a hoopty, could be a great car, but all of a sudden something weird about that car decided now is the time for it to commit suicide in service bay.
Right in front of you.
Yeah, right in front of you. Yeah.
Nope. Stretched out on its on its back, wheels up. Couldn't save that one. That's funny stuff. So anything else you want to share? I've just had a blast talking to you.
Well, great. I think we covered quite a bit.
Yeah, we did. Thank you. I so appreciate you coming to me with this idea of, we do entrepreneur interviews. We really get into people, what's going on with them. Yeah. This is light. It was refreshing.
Well, it's the other side.
Yeah.
You know, it's the side that no one really wants to talk about when they're trying to show you or want you to invest into their company to improve your business.
Yeah.
You know, it seems that it's overlooked.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm partial to it, but that's to me what I see is that, you know, getting a guy in who's just wanting to start up a repair shop and he thinks the world is just absolutely great, and then all of a sudden he runs across that customer that left a car or gave him a bad check or gave him a hard time, and thinking, well, what did I do? You didn't do anything. You're just part of the realistic side of the business.
I don't know. I don't know, Gonzo. I just think more of it comes to you than any other buddy, anybody else.
That too, yeah.
But thank you for writing and bringing such a great insight to the incredible challenges that we have in our beloved automotive aftermarket.
Ain't that the truth?
Thanks for stopping by, man.
Thanks.
Hey, aftermarketers, thanks for joining and hanging with me and the Gons. I'm sure you've enjoyed knowing you aren't the only one who has ever had to deal with these kinds of issues. And the outside world thinks that running a business is an easy and glamorous job. Hey, find the Gonzo show notes at remarkableresults.biz/E207. Hey, I'd love to hear from you. Any questions or comments, email me at carm@remarkableresults.biz or head over to the contact page on the website. You know, you're an important reason I bring this library of interviews, the powerhouse of content, to you. And I hope you're profiting from the wisdom and insights found in each episode. Hey, favor time, tell a friend, share the link, and thanks for your support. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.